Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings, and thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring jewels to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max, and follow me on Quora.com/Pamela L. Space. My special guest today is Miss Britt Elders. For the first time in 45 years after their original publication, the two photojournal volumes of UFO, Contact from the Pleiades, are combined in one book for a modern audience, with a new foreword written by Shirley MacLaine and a new introduction and preface written by yours truly, Britt Elders. Without further ado, I want to say thank you again for this interview chance, Britt, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I love your mission statement.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Absolutely. I have a lot of questions.
Go.
And I tell you, I start watching the trailer, but my husband stopped me because he's into UFOs. So he's like, no, we got to do this together. So we're going to finish watching it in a couple of days.
No good.
Yeah, because it's very interesting. But I mean, he is like, he's a fanatic and he can talk about it and have conversations and everything. But I'm glad I'm the one doing the interview, right?
There you go.
So tell me, how are you doing before we get started?
Just wonderful. It's a great day. It's beautiful here in northern Arizona. I'm really happy with just life. It's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know in Arizona, it gets what, up to 113?
Oh, in Phoenix, it can get up to 120. Yeah. Oh. Where I am, we don't get that hot. Thank goodness. I'm up in the forest.
Yes. You know, I've been to Needles, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I love hot weather. I do. I like hot weather. But that right there, I swear, I was like, I thought I was in hell.
It was
just that bad.
Yeah.
But yes, I do like the hot weather. And I know I can live in Vegas. Here in Antioch, we get up to about 112.
Wow. Now that is warm.
And when it's cold, it is cold out here. So there's no in between. It's either hot or cold.
Well, we have snow. We have all the seasons. Beautiful falls, but where I am, we get a lot of snow. And, it's not unusual to hit way below zero.
Really?
Things. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We have a ski resort up here. It's just great.
Okay.
If you like cold weather.
Yes, huh? I have to come up there and ski, though.
There you go.
Well, I got a bunch of questions, like I said, so let's get into it.
Okay.
So my first question to you is, what makes the Palladian case so unique?
Well, when this began, which was 1975, we had heard of a couple of abduction cases, primarily the Betty and Barney Hill case. And there were sightings, lots of sightings all over the world. But there had not been a case where there was physical face-to-face contact, discussions being held over a long period of time. And the purpose for those contacts was to provide physical evidence that the man that said he was having contact actually was. So he had photographs, he had movie footage, he had audio recordings of the craft, metal samples, and dozens and dozens of witnesses. So that made it completely unique in the UFO field. It sort of set people aback for a while. It's like, oh, well, this is so different. It can't be real. But when the science got involved with it and started saying, we don't know how to make this, we can't duplicate it ourselves, then it started, you know, raising a few eyebrows and people started saying, we need to take a look at it.
So just like I said, I have a bunch of questions, but just going back to when you were original, because it's like, I mean, this is really unique. I mean, me myself, I'm like, wow, this is something else. But how long did the investigation last throughout
7 years. From
7 years?
time we got involved, the case began in 75. And we got involved in 1976, and it was 7 years that we spent basically shutting down our companies and just going every direction imaginable on this because it was so unique. We had to reach out to scientists, we had to reach out to laboratories because we were looking at state-of-the-art equipment. We knew, even though we had the investigative background, we did not have the knowledge or capabilities needed to analyze these physical evidences. So what we did was we ended up going to places like University of Arizona, JPL, Scripps Institute, all of these different places to have their specialists examine the material. And then we compiled it, and as any good investigator should, not put a slant on it, believe it or don't believe it, but put it out there and say, here it is. And that's how the books came into being.
Wow. What were some of the most important aspects for you?
Well, for me personally, I would have to say there were two things. One, the contactee, Edward Villingmeyer, was a very earthy, pretty humble man. When we first met him, he had just moved into this house. It was pretty dilapidated, did not have indoor plumbing. He was washing his face in a horse trough. They would bring water in from the well and boil it on the stove to bathe and to take care of their dishes and wash their clothes. So, and he was fine with that. He was more interested in what his apple trees were doing at the time. And he just was real. Anything we asked him, he was very open and receptive to answering us. And if he didn't know, he said, I don't know, which I really appreciated. The thing with the evidence that really got me was the metal, because the metal was made from metals we have here, but it was a metal structure, a crystal structure, and a metal structure. And this metal was reported to be from a phase of development of the skin of the craft. The fact that it had crystalline structure separating metal structures was unique because it had to be done in a cold fusion process. We didn't have that availability then. We could only heat metal and pour it. We couldn't do it where we bonded it together in what they call a cold fusion process. The other thing about the metal was it had thulium, which is a very rare earth element. Very, very costly to extract, hard to find. And yet thulium was present in this metal sample. So how would a farmer with one arm, by the way, he lost one arm in a bus accident, how would he have all this knowledge and the wherewithal to put this together? It's interesting looking back 45 years at where we started with all of this.
Right.
Because we didn't have computers. We didn't have phones that took great movies and still photographs. We didn't have Photoshop and things like that where we could manipulate images to be whatever we wanted them to be. He had no way of doing this. He certainly didn't have an income that would allow him the type of things that would be necessary for doing it. You could only find that in a Hollywood studio.
Wow. Yes. So where did you guys meet to have, you know, to go forward with this?
Well, it was the investigators were a retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force, my
Right.
husband Lee, our associate Tom Welch, and myself. And we, the three of us, Tom and Lee and I, had a company called Intersun. It was designed to keep Fortune 500s and banks and financial institutions from being wiretapped and eavesdropped on. That was the basis of our investigation firm. And so we were together all the time. The three of us worked together. My husband and I had a wonderful relationship. We worked together, we played together. It was a 24/7 thing. It was really wonderful, very rare, very wonderful. And so we would go through what we needed to do and then sort of split up and go in different directions, one to the metal, one to the movies, one to the still photographs or the recordings of the craft. And then we'd get together and head off to Europe to get more information and check in on Meyer and see what was going on there. During that 7 years of the investigation, we worked on three different continents in various different labs, looking at all aspects of the physical evidence. And during that 7 year period of time, we lived at the farmhouse, Billy Meyer's farmhouse, for over 365 days in a little camp trailer right next to the house.
Wow. After 45 years, do you find the, okay, and here I go jumping the gun, but do you find the books are still relevant? If so, why?
I do. In fact, I think they're more relevant today. The topic back in the 70s, you didn't dare say, "Oh, I want to read this book on UFOs," or, "Hey, I saw something in the sky I can't explain. I think I saw a UFO." You didn't do that then because there was such a stigma attached to the whole topic. Today, you can say, "I saw something in the sky. I don't understand. I saw a UFO," and nobody bats an eye. It's out there. People are talking about it. They're more curious. This young generation coming in, they are the ones that are going to be really pioneering space. And that's why I think this book is so important. Let them realize we're not the only thinking beings on the planet or in the universe. There are others out there. They need to be aware of them and sort of set the tone for. Not all extraterrestrial life is bad because the Pleiadians who were speaking with Meyer were not abducting him. It was a contact. They weren't threatening in any way, shape, or form. They looked very human. Very different, like we all look different, but still a human form. The only big difference they had was their earlobes came right down into their jawline here. And yeah, so that was unique that he saw that Billy reported. But I do think the book is important right now because we're opening a whole new kind of, I don't know, paradigm into thought as to what exists out there. And if we can share more and more information on all levels with people, then I think we can all learn more. And that's always been one of my goals is to learn something new every day. I can help by sharing, which is what this book and the documentary film that's out, that's what that's all about. It's to let people read it, see it, make their decisions, make their choices.
When the Palladians met with Mir, how did they communicate?
Yeah.
Woo!
They have, we're getting there, but we're not there yet. They have the ability to learn Earth languages in a matter of weeks. All Earth languages, ancient and current. So that was fascinating. But when they had a problem, they could rely on a language translator. It was a little handheld device, and they would put in the word that they were trying to convey, and it would say what the word was. Well, in 1975, we didn't have that type of thing. We do now. We could, if I wanted to speak to you in Japanese, I could put right into my phone the words I wanted to say, and the translation program would then translate it for you. So yeah, it's very interesting. Then a lot of the contacts were also telepathic, and that's how they actually started. Billy was sitting at his kitchen table, and he got a cooling sensation across his forehead. And then he heard something tell him, get on your moped and follow instructions, which he did. He felt compelled to do that. So he followed what they were telling him, and they led him out to the middle of the forest where there was a clearing. And that's when he saw and heard the craft.
Wow. This case is steeped in controversy.
Yeah.
How do you react when someone says it's not real?
That's okay. I'm fine with that because I have to tell you, when we first saw the photographs, when Colonel Stevens first brought us the photographs, we looked at them and went, oh no, they're too good to be true. They were too perfect. But as we got into the investigation, we found out the Pleiadians had actually posed their craft. And when we started looking at how they had done it, so sometimes you would have a branch going in front of the craft. Sometimes there would be cars in the movie footage. There's cars moving underneath this craft that's hovering. So, okay, I get people all hit different levels at different times. It took us a little bit of time to get to a point where for us it was real because the evidence supports the case. But to say, I'm here to tell you, you have to believe or anything, I can't do that. You have to find your own level at your own time. So I don't have a problem with it. And there are people that just say, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. It's, and some will even say it's been proven a hoax. And I have to come back to them and say, okay, who proved it? What laboratories analyzed the material? Where was it taken? And where did they get the material? Because it's been in our possession since 1976. So they haven't had the metal samples and they haven't had the audio recordings that we've had and the photographs, which were in our negatives off the originals, and the movie footage, the 8mm footage. So when someone says it's a hoax, if you can show me it's a hoax, I'm more than willing to listen. But I need to know where it was analyzed and by whom. Did it follow the same programs that we did, which was state of the art back in the 70s? Now, no, it's not state of the art anymore. They've got wonderful equipment that can reinvent anything, basically. And when you look at AI and what it's capable of creating now, yeah.
Now AI, speaking about that, now that's a little scary.
It is. It
That
truly
is a little scary. And to me, I hope the government is being a little cautious about that because,
Yeah.
maybe me, I've been watching too many of Will Smith movies with some of those robots.
He makes great movies. But
He does.
it's true. It is something we have to be cautious of. It's this whole development, it can do wondrous things, really great things for people, but there's that other side too. And it's a very manipulative side, and that is frightening.
Yeah, that is. So I just we got to be careful
Absolutely.
that
Be
we
very
do.
discerning about anything. Yes.
Yeah, because out here, I don't know if they have them where you live, but we have the what do you call that? Waymo cars,
Oh, yeah. They've got them
self-driving
in
cars.
Phoenix. Yeah.
And I tell you, they cause so much traffic jam. Versus, and I understand you have to do your research and everything, but, and I understand that we're trying to stay up with the times and be creative and all that, but okay, they can take them off the road because
Yeah.
I tell you, and I was just talking to a executive and he was all like, now it's bad enough when you get in the car with someone you don't know and, they have to drive you somewhere, right? He said, so do you think I'm gonna get in a car with someone driving where and how? So we were cracking up. He was like, look at it right now. It's in the middle of the street and with everybody going this way, that
Yeah.
way, and everything. And the fire department was unglued and
Oh boy. I know.
so
No, I prefer human behind the wheel. Thank you.
yes, absolutely. Have you spoken with Mir recently?
Yes, in fact, he and I were emailing back and forth this morning. He's doing pretty well. He's 87 years old.
Oh, bless his heart.
Pardon?
No, I said bless his heart. Is
Yeah, oh,
that
he's a sweetie. And he's still having contact, but we talked this morning. He had been in the hospital for some gallstone removal, and so he was back home now and doing well, and it was good. I mean, we talk, we Zoom, and we go back and forth on emails quite a bit.
good. That's good. Why do you feel it is important to re-release the books now?
Well, I think it's important because we are moving into kind of a tipping point with we're not just focused on, okay, the moon or what's actually happening around the planet. We've expanded that thought. We're now thinking about setting up bases on Mars and from there using that as a jump off point further in the universe. I really do feel it's necessary to wake up to and acknowledge the fact that we are not alone, that there are other civilizations out there. And one thing I think that's very important, because we take our garbage with us, our emotional baggage with
Right.
us wherever we go. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to take it out there. We don't want to take the judgment and the anger and the fear and all of that that we like to play in here on this planet and drag it out there. I don't think that that's fair to them or fair to us. What civilization would really want to sit down and communicate and work with us if that's what we're steeped in?
I do agree. I do agree, but that's going to be hard for us.
Yeah, it is.
That
It
will
is. I know.
it will be hard for us. Do you think off-world visitors only come from the Pleiades or many different areas of the universe?
I think they come from many places. When we got involved with UFOs back in the 70s, in this case, we did not think that it would become a lifetime passion, but it did. It's something that once that curiosity is piqued, you're out there just looking at everything you can. I have met many, many contactees and abductees, and they all claim different sources. Aldebaran, Orion, Betelgeuse, Sirius A, Sirius B, every place, Arcturus. And they have different stories, but very similar stories. Even the Pleiadians told Meyer that there were 105 civilizations visiting our planet back in 1975. I imagine there's probably more now.
I'm quite sure because, I look at the YouTube and I'm intrigued what is going on, right? And there are so many different, how should I say this? I mean, I know the government creates, airplanes that look like, or jets that looks like,
Right.
UFOs, but there's times when, like at night I went jogging and I'm like, hey, you.
Well, when you really think you're seeing something is when it starts making right angle turns, or you've got two of them and they're flying loop-de-loops around each other. Yeah, that's kind of like, oh, wow. All right. I don't think we can do that yet.
Right. Are you a little nervous when meeting or talking about, the Pleiades or any other extraterrestrial?
No, I'm not. Throughout all of the investigations we've done, we've never been harassed or bothered by anybody. We do get people to say, well, I don't believe it. It's fake. It's hoax, whatever. That's okay. That doesn't bother me. But being threatened, I've never been threatened. This case, the Meyer case in particular, the Pleiadian case, is so wonderful and so peaceful and talks about creation, talks about the universe, talks about how they look at us as their little brothers because they helped seed this planet forever ago, along with many other cultures. So to me, it's something that's just information. And I'm not throwing rocks at the government, any of them. I
Well,
get why they label things national security, but at the same time, I have to say, I think they're going a little bit slow. Our government in particular needs to catch up with the rest of the world because places like Brazil, China, definitely, even in Europe, they are moving more towards releasing more and more information to the public so the public has an opportunity to make a decision.
Do you think this one world order here, we're gonna be everybody gonna be living amongst one another? You know, we'd be walking past one another. Hey, Brazil, you know.
It's a possibility. It is a possibility, yeah. The funny thing about, like, with the Pleiadians and why they don't spend much time on this planet is they say humans have something they call auric stench, which is our vibrations are just, like I said, we're so stuck in that anger and fear and all of that that we have a tendency to make them feel nauseous. So they can be around us for a couple of hours and then they want to go away. So they're not going to be walking out there with the public too much. But yeah, there are different civilizations that, according to their contacts, the people that have had meetings with them, they say they do come down and walk with us. I've never met one, to the best of my knowledge, but yeah, to the best of my knowledge, who knows?
Never know, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Have you looked into abduction cases? What are your thoughts about them?
Well, abduction cases are very interesting because there are abduction cases that are really horrid and emotionally scarring to people. It's horrendous, some of the things people have gone through. And I have worked with doctors that have taken implants they can't explain out of people's sinuses. So, yeah, abductions do happen. But there is also a side of abductions that I find very interesting because it's human curiosity that sparks the encounter. And when you talk to the abductee and they say, God, I saw this craft and I got out of my car and I walked towards it, and you go, oh, do you think you invited them to have a contact with you? They hadn't thought about that. They go, oh, that's possible. That might be it. So it's sort of interesting to see where they take it after you removed some of the fear and let them realize that they might have initiated the entire event.
How is that?
Well, when you approach someone, if I were to approach you on the street, I would be initiating contact with you.
Okay, true.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a simple logic. And then you would respond however you respond. In the case of, like, Travis Walton, who was an early abductee back in the 70s, he was with a bunch of woodcutters. They were up in Heber, Arizona. And he jumped out of the truck when they saw the craft. Most of them wanted to run away. He wanted to walk towards the craft and stood right under it and kept thinking, what are you? And all of a sudden, he was on board the ship. So he sort of initiated that contact that he ended up having.
Wow. So, are there, in your opinion, do you think there are others whom are not as friendly? And do you think that they are, visiting our Earth too?
I do, unfortunately. I think
Okay.
some of the abduction cases bear that out. The cattle mutilations bear that out. But I think the universe is no different than we are here. There are good and there are bad.
True.
Again, you have to be discerning. You've got to rely on what you feel in your heart. When you connect with someone, whether they're terrestrial or off-world, it's something that you need to feel comfortable with that. If you don't, then I wouldn't recommend that you progress any further, whether it's a human form or an extraterrestrial. But yeah, I do really believe that there is that strange polarity, and maybe it's a universe of polarities, where we have those that want to help each other and be good to each other, and you have those that don't understand that concept. And whether it's they haven't been taught, whether it's not something they even relate to, I don't know. But I do think there is good and bad.
Yeah, me too. I watch the movies. They make some that are bad. Wow. So tell me about the book. And what are some of the exciting points that you can tell me about why I should read the book? And what would I get out of the book, actually?
Hopefully, a lot of questions. that sounds silly. But
right.
When you think, you pose questions in your mind and it propels you further. So you want to learn more. And that, I think, is a big goal and should be with any writer. But with the book, you're getting dozens of crystal clear photographs of unidentified flying objects, which the Pleiadians refer to as beam ships. You're getting a basic overview of what took place during the investigation. You're getting Meyer's view of what his contacts were about. And you're also getting quotes from the Pleiadians themselves, talking about how they develop, how their culture exists, how they view themselves as being advanced of us, but still evolving. They're not perfect. They can't solve all the problems. How we have to take responsibility for ourselves as they have to take responsibility for themselves and their actions. That all of these different groups are fascinated by Earth because so many came here long, long, long ago and started cultures and civilizations that flourished or helped start. Then you've got the history aspect to it, which we get into in the books as well. The Pleiades particularly is a star system that throughout history, going back through oral history, going back through mythology, the Pleiades have always been recognized as peaceful, the seven sisters. They are the ones that bring good things. And every culture, I don't care what continent you're on. I mean, we studied everything from American Indians all the way through Africa, through Asia, through Europe. All of the ancient cultures revered the Pleiades. They all found something beautiful about them. And many of them said they were given gifts like agriculture, how to farm better, how to build an observatory that was functional, and how to chart the stars in the sky. So things like that are in the book as well. It's 200 pages. It's unique. It's a coffee table book. It's 10 inches by 10 inches square, all color, has a lot of quotes from witnesses. I mean, there's something in there for everybody to get you to think, to make you question. And that, I think, is really important at this time.
Are you done with research?
On the Meyer case? Yeah, I don't know where else to take it, really. From what we did with the equipment that was in the same areas of time, I don't see a reason to go back to it now. to re-research any of that. But as far as UFOs, no, I've been involved with other cases all around the world, spent a lot of time in Mexico where they're having waves of sightings, literal waves.
Absolutely. I've
It's
seen that on YouTube.
yeah, it
I've
is
seen
a
that on YouTube.
blast down there. You gotta go because there's a little town, it's 100,000 people. It's called Atlixco. It's right outside Puebla. Easy to get to. It's by the volcano Popocatépetl. And there's a hill called Casita Blanca. And it is so much fun. The people grab their grandparents, their kids, their beer coolers, their picnic baskets. They head up to this hill and they sit and wait for the UFOs to come in. And I've been there. We took film crews from sightings, took film crews from Japan, and we sat there and got some of the best footage I have ever seen. It's
Really?
really remarkable. And Mexico has a different attitude. They are receptive to this. It's almost like they, because of their religious doctrine, primarily Catholic, they expect miracles. And to them, this is another miracle and it's great. And they just sort of revel in it. It's quite fascinating to see how the different attitudes affect different cultures. Mexico's wonderful. They take photographs. When they do take or have a mass sighting, let's say, like on January 3rd, 1993, they had a mass sighting over Reforma, which is the longest boulevard through Mexico City. People got out of their cars, laid back on the hoods, and watched the UFOs. They make it a party. They had a great time with it. It was on the front page of the newspapers, all newspapers in Mexico, the next day. It was on the 6 p.m. news. We never heard a word of it up here.
Wow. And what
Yeah.
about Spain? Because, like you stated earlier, Spain had a lot of sightings as well. Have you
Still
been to
does.
Spain as well?
I have. Valencia has a lot of sightings over there. Spain does. Italy has been. France has been. In Milan, Italy, though, there is a young man that he gets this sort of wispy, as he calls it, voice in his head, and it tells him to get up and look at his skylight. So he pushes open his skylight with his camera, starts taking pictures, and gets some amazing photographs. So it's happening all over the world.
It is.
Yeah.
I do agree. It is. And it is going to be so interesting when we get into 2040 or 2050. You know what I mean?
I
What
do.
are we going to do and how are we going to act? Now, me myself, when I do watch the documentaries on YouTube and just looking at what's going on, and a lot of the abductees, they tend to, when they come back and they return, they have a lot of trauma. Does that come from, the ones that are evil, you think? Or
I think two things. I think some, yes, definitely coming from the evil ones that are experimenting on human bodies. I consider those evil because that's going against free will.
right.
But I also think that a lot of the trauma comes from how we're raised, how we are so set in our beliefs that this planet is the only planet that could possibly have life, that it's something that you don't want to think about, there possibly being other life out there. And it's frightening. And some of the beings don't look like us.
Right.
And that in itself would be enough to scare anybody. Yeah.
I do agree. I do agree. That's going to be interesting. That is. What do you think of the government's release of the UAP material?
Well, I think it's interesting they changed the name. Basically means the same thing as UFO, but now they call it UAP. It takes the stigma away a little because UFO has always had this sort of strange stigma. You don't want to talk about it. So now UAP is safer. But I think we need to move faster in that area of releasing information. We have much more information than a few Navy videos. We have a lot, and we should let the public know about it. It's a step, but it's a baby step. And we need to get to a place where the government trusts the public more to make decisions and to be a little analytical over these things. And they don't. But if they did, I think they could release so much and people wouldn't be so hesitant. And if they didn't throw it under national security, everything under national security, then we would be in a position where we could say, this has been going on for a long time, and we just didn't know it.
But don't you think that it's already out? I mean, the government can't stop anything now because you have a lot of whistleblowers, people whom are, making all of us aware this is going on, like you said, in all Mexico, Spain, Europe. Matter of fact, I was doing some research in Europe. And I come to find I found a picture of a floating ship going past in Europe. And I forgot which area that was in, but I have it. And it was like I put it out there and nobody said, oh, this is false or anything of that nature. And I was like, this has to be true.
There's a lot of things like that. I've seen pictures of the only way you could describe it is angels. It looked like it had wings and was human form. Different things like that they don't fit the norm of what we associate as being in the sky. So they become a UAP. I think we are in a position now. Like I said, a tipping point where we can really open up. I think the government doesn't have as much control over what gets out there to the public because the world has gotten smaller with the internet and with YouTube and all of these things. But there are some people out there that will not believe it unless the government says it's so. I haven't quite figured that one out, but it
Yeah.
is true. It is unfortunate.
Wow. I don't see how anyone can think that we are alone. With everything that is going on, and I'm still trying to figure out the definition of the New World Order.
That's a really good question.
You know
Who all
if
does it encompass?
it's right? So I'm still trying to figure that out. So I'm asking you, do you know what really the New World Order is all about?
I don't. I wish I did. I would probably feel more comfortable if I had a clue because right now everything seems so discombobulated.
Yes, too much chaos. So the New World Order is
Exactly.
going to be Pamela. I'm going to have to get rid of some of these leaders and these politicians.
I don't know if who it's going to incorporate. Is it just countries that have power or wealth or what? Or does it start incorporating off-world beings? Openly incorporating off-world beings?
Absolutely, absolutely. That
It's a
is
great question.
yes, ma'am. And I am going to get to the bottom of that. That
Well,
I
when
am.
you do, let me know, please.
Yes, I will. I would totally reach out and I will be speaking about that because, the big talk of the New World Order. And I'm like, when is this supposed to happen? Is this when the new president comes? When we nominate the new president or. The BRICS is changing, the currency is changing. What's going on? No, Bitcoin is moving right along, because some of the things that I do when I pay for my vendors for services and everything, I pay through Bitcoin. So that is going to be interesting.
It really is, because I think it's going to change quickly. It doesn't seem like they're allowing the public an opportunity to grow into things anymore. It's like blink and it's there. It's done. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
What are your personal thoughts about extraterrestrial life visiting Earth, though?
Wow, I would love it if I could sit down and have a conversation with many of them. I would want to know what I just would have such a long list of questions. What I could do to better myself, to make myself more prepared for what's eventually going to be us being part of a universe. What could I do to help others in a way that is beyond what we know we can do with each other right now? Not ask them to solve the problems, but to help me learn about me. And then I want to know about them. How did they get through their problems? Because they're evolving too. So they're not perfect. So how did they move through their problems? And what did they learn from each other? I think that would be the conversation, and it'll go on forever. It would just be
I
one
do
leading to
agree.
another to another. Yeah.
Can you imagine just you and them, and you're just so
Oh.
intrigued, you're just like talking away and asking all these
Yeah.
questions, right?
They'd probably want to stuff a sock in my mouth. Yeah.
Right? Have you ever seen a craft?
I have
You
many
have?
times in Mexico, never in Switzerland. I've had unusual experiences in Switzerland. One night, Billy went off to a contact, and my husband and I knew better than to follow him because they would break off the contact. So we just went outside and waited for him to come back. Everything lit up with this bluish white light, and it was in the trees, under the trees, above the trees. It didn't have a source, but everything got real bright, lasted a few seconds, and then it was gone. And that happened three times. So we had unusual experiences like that that we couldn't explain. But in Mexico, I have seen craft. I've seen craft in Arizona, in California, which was, yeah, that was very interesting. Lee and I were driving through, and we were going through Death Valley. And a trucker was pulled off to the side of the road, and he had his hood up. And so Lee pulled over to see if he could make a call for him or something like that. And the guy was standing by the truck, just staring up, couldn't talk. And here was this remarkable, big, huge, disc-shaped ship just hovering, not moving. And it was daylight. And it was, oh, wow, that was something. So the three of us are standing there next to his truck looking at this thing for about 15 minutes. And then it took off. Now, maybe because of the vicinity, that whole area there around Lancaster, where they're doing a lot of research, maybe it was a US craft. I don't know. But to me, that was a definite unidentified flying object. I've seen things in Mexico, both daylight and at night. Gosh, South America, yes. So, yeah, a lot of things going on there. And again, I think part of that openness that first of all, it's a little slower culture. So they're okay looking up every now and then. They take the time to look up and wonder what's out there. We have a tendency to be in our phones or doing our stuff, and we don't look up as much as we probably should. But
Absolutely.
South America, Mexico, more laid back cultures, you get a lot of reports and a lot of photographs and images coming from down there.
Wow. Do you believe every case is real?
No, but I believe everybody that believes they've had an experience needs to be heard. It's kind of a fine line you have to walk. I prefer to deal with things that have physical evidence with them as an investigator. That's just me. But everyone has a story, and that story is valuable to them because they believe it. So I think it needs to be heard, needs to be listened to. doesn't mean that I'm going to believe every single thing I hear or that I'm going to feel comfortable with everything I hear. But I think those people have a right to be heard as well.
I do agree. What do you hope to see in the future for the subject?
Openness, discussion, more curiosity, a spark of, wow, what can we learn from this? What will it teach us? How can we be better at being people, at being human? How can we let that curiosity create our creativity? I mean, it's a curiosity that got us to the moon in the first place. Could we do it? Yes, we could. So things like that. Let it be the spark for expanding what we already have as knowledge and go from there. And I hope that more and more people become comfortable with the topic and that people realize that they have to be a little bit discerning as to what they experience. And I think by doing that, you can halt more of the negative experiences and bring about more positive experiences.
Well said. I do
Thank you.
agree. Well said. So the movie, when does it come out?
It's out right now,
Okay.
on DVD. It's available through Beyond Words Publishing. It's very different than the books. It shows more to the investigation that we could actually put into the books, but it gives you a sense of Billy Meyer and what he experienced and what he's like. It gives you a sense of the areas where he filmed. There are things in there, like we detected gamma radiation around the first contact site, and that was really unusual. This was several years after that initial contact. Shouldn't have gamma radiation, and gamma radiation can do damage to humans. Then we find out that the Pleiadians removed that craft because they didn't realize it had a radiation leak and it was potentially going to harm Billy or other things. So it has a lot of information in it. It makes you think, it leaves you going, wow, okay, what else? And then moving forward, and that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yes, wow. I mean, this is a great conversation.
I've
And I
thoroughly
am
enjoyed
so,
it.
I appreciate it. I was so intrigued. And when you sent me the trailer in the movie, and I was watching it, and I'm like, Mir was so interesting himself, you know? And he was very comfortable about what was going on. The experiences that he was going through as well, you know? And he's like, well, it was a part where he handed, was that you guys, where he handed the rocks?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, well, no, here you go. Let me show you the proof. I
Yeah.
was like, oh my God.
He's just real. That's who he is. Yeah, he's very down to earth and somebody you could sit down and have a conversation with anywhere. Just a real person. It's very nice. Not trying to be famous, not trying to get anything special out there, anything like that. Just Billy Meyer, just a normal person.
Absolutely. Well, I know we're up for time. You have anything else you would like to share with us?
Well, if anyone has any questions, if I can help direct you to anything in the topics, I would be happy to. And you can reach me through my website at britelders.com. And you can find out about the books that I'm doing, and they're not all UFO, but this one is special to me. This one is a big part of my life.
Absolutely. And it's going to be mine too, especially after I watch the movie, right?
You're right. I want to hear your feedback after you do see it.
I am going to email you because I'm
Okay,
like,
please.
this is very interesting, you know, and for me to have contact with you and to really gotten the information And you know, they say knowledge is powerful, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to share with my girls too, because they got
Good.
to know you better be good.
Yep. Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, I have reached my destination. And as always, I leave you with the quote of the day. When life gets too overwhelming, just look up at the night sky and lose yourself for a while. Deborah A. Tenbrink.
Oh,
Thank you so much. And it was
thank
a
you.
beautiful, beautiful conversation, Miss Elder. And everyone, have a blessful, beautiful day. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.